Warning, transformation can be addictive. Having transformed every area of her life, from her career to her relationship with her body to her cluttered countertops, you could say she's transformed AF. A life transformation coach and mentor, entrepreneur, stand-up comedian, and mom. Your host, the transformation maven herself, Rachel Birch.
Hello, I'm so excited for another episode of the Transformation Maven podcast. Today we have Erica Duran. She is a freedom-based lifestyle coach, a digital nomad, and a minimalist. She is going to talk to us about decluttering our brain space so that we can essentially get rid of energy leaks and unapologetically go after our dreams. She is going to talk to us about transforming our lifestyle. So without further ado, here we go. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the Transformation Maven podcast. So excited to have you today.
Hey, Rachel. Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to be on one of your first episodes.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I just, like I said, I'm just so excited to have you here. I'm excited to have a podcast. So thank you. Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about yourself, what you do, where you live, etc.?
Yeah, so I've been a freedom business model coach for quite a while now, which means I help people to go after their dream business that they can work from anywhere. And a lot of times it's home. They want to be home with their children. But a lot of times they do want to be a sort of what we call a digital nomad, where they either stay at hotels or Airbnbs around the world for a couple months at a time and working from anywhere, basically. I'm also a digital marketing expert, and so we just launched a program called Google Bait, which is a way to get found on Google's organic search for free without paying for ads and for not using that old school way of SEO that doesn't work anymore. And I'm also a minimalist, so basically everything I have I can fit into a small Volkswagen.
Yeah, I love that about you, kind of the minimalist lifestyle. Can you tell us more about, you know, what that means for you and what minimalism is in general?
Yeah, well, minimalism means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But for me, I get a lot of anxiety and I can't think or focus when there's a lot of things around. And also from a productivity standpoint, I don't want to be dealing with things like shopping for things, cleaning things, decluttering things, moving things around. Like I don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. I have bigger things to do, so to speak. And from a financial standpoint, I really believe in what I call minimalist luxury. So that means, like, yeah, I have about 8 outfits, but I totally love them, wear them all the time. They're higher end outfits. And I wear them out and then I go buy another batch. So it's just, kind of like the Steve Jobs thing where he wore basically a uniform to work so he could think about bigger things in life. I'd much rather put money towards experiences and things like that, or even my business. I'd rather invest in my business than a bunch of junk.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting because I obviously know about, in theory, minimalism. Mm-hmm. I haven't embraced it myself yet, but, I'm definitely a big declutterer. I like to purge as many, things as possible. But I hadn't really thought of the angle of kind of those energy leaks that you really save through minimalism when you're talking about, less stuff to kind of worry about, less stuff to clutter your brain. Not only is it not cluttering your physical space, but also your brain. So you can, I assume, be more creative in your business, be more present in your life. Do you kind of experience those things?
Yeah, of course. And I see it through my clients as well, because I'm kind of not a traditional business coach per se. How this all started was I was a professional organizer, and in order for people to release their clutter and finally get rid of their junk, I would use the angle of, okay, let's sell all your junk and put it towards a business, or put it towards a vacation of a lifetime, or put it towards something they really wanted. So they were able to release the stuff, and then I would, if they did want to start a business, I would help them start a business from that point. And then they had a little bit of seed money, or, you know, maybe they needed some money to quit their job and feel comfortable. So that's how my business evolved from a professional organizer into a business coach. And in fact, I just, I guess you could say, shepherd one of my team members into selling absolutely everything except his computer and some clothes. And he's now in La Paz, Mexico, scuba diving all day and then doing work on my Google Bait program at night. So I kind of came full circle, and I'm back to helping people minimalize so they can go after what they really want again. But then all the business strategy and everything as well, that I can help them even beyond the minimalism.
That is so interesting. I'm kind of spinning a little bit, thinking how the minimalism can actually, you know, it benefits your business in the sense, like we just talked about, the energy leaks, but then actually being able to use it to fund, whether it is the seed money for your new business, or whether, like you said, it's a vacation of a lifetime, kind of that lifestyle that you're trying to achieve. You clear all this stuff out energetically, and then actually can monetize the clearing out so that you can use it to fund, you know, what's coming next. That seems like a ingenious way to, you know, kill two birds with one stone, especially.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And it's true about the energy, because when your house is just full of paper and dust collecting knickknacks and all those things, your energy is totally leaked. And then you're going to come home from work and lay on the couch and watch 10 hours of Netflix because you're exhausted and your space is like closing in on you. Not to imagine you're working a job you don't like to buy all this crap in the first place, that you then have to spend the weekend taking care of all the things. And it's just, it's crazy for me. Like when I looked at apartments and stuff in the past, most people would think it's a luxury to have a garage with their apartment. I was like, can I have the one that doesn't have a garage? Because I don't want to deal with, you know, stuff accumulating in a garage just because I have it. So yeah, just it's really a different way. It's kind of like think through the purchase, and like in those 12-step programs, like think through the drink and stuff that. It's like think through the purchase. Like if you could look at something in a store and think about like, okay, in about a year, that's going to be on OfferUp, or that's going to be on eBay in a year because I'm going to be bored of it or tired of taking care of it. So I had a friend once say, he's like, you don't want to take care of anything unless it barks, because I have it. Two dogs. So.
That is so funny. Yeah. I'm just reminiscing of our neighborhood garage sale a couple weeks ago. And it was like, I made $83, but I cleared out so much stuff. And, you know, my sister came over and we made it fun, but it's so true. It's kind of like you purchase something only to see its demise, and it's really sad. So that sounds like, you know, some good advice, kind of think through the purchase. But if somebody's looking to kind of transform their lifestyle or their situation into more minimalist or digital nomad or all these areas that you kind of work in, what advice would you give them as far as starting out? Like, where do you start with this process?
Yeah, starting out with the mindset piece of actually uncovering what it is you want, because maybe you're accumulating things to kind of keep up with the Joneses or project some kind of image to other people. And so starting with what you really want and being unapologetic for it. And a lot of times people have trouble getting back to what they really want because they've seen so many TV ads and so many magazine ads, and you know, their friends at work have, you know, the new Ferrari, whatever they have. And just getting back to your core and uncovering that, but also being unapologetic about what you find there. So if you do enjoy, let's just say a few Tiffany pieces or Chanel pieces here and there, that's fine. Like, have that. Don't have, you know, 100 cheap purses from Ross, you know, right. Have that, you know, and be unapologetic for it about it. And then a lot of times, my clients have, if you think about what you enjoyed as a child, it can be kind of a springboard for what brings you joy now and what what experiences you really want to have. Because most kids can have fun with a stick and a box. Mm-hmm. They don't really need all those toys. They have their fun playing in the mud and things like that. Mm-hmm. So if you can think back of when you were a child, that's it could be a little bit of a springboard, not necessarily exactly what's going to bring you joy now, but and as I can look back, that's kind of how this started. Was my mom was a travel agent. She would take me with her, and I remember this one time being in Hawaii with her, and I had, as a kid, I was the only child, so I had every Barbie you could think of. I had a whole extra bedroom just for toys. And when we went to Hawaii this one time, I was 5, so I guess I was starting to be impressionable. And I was like, oh my God, this hotel is completely beautiful. It's uncluttered. There's nothing out of place. And we only have our suitcases, and we're having more fun than we had at home with my second bedroom of toys.
That is amazing. At 5, I wish that my 8-year-old could get that concept, because yeah, there's so much clutter. It's hard to even enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And that was just some realization. And then years later, I kind of connected the dots to that origin of what was going on in my mindset. And as far as going back, I know I rambled a lot, but getting back to your original question about how do you start, there's probably a good chunk of things around your environment where you keep looking at it and you're like, that's gotta go. So every time you look at this thing, you're thinking like, this has gotta go someday, or this is a mess, or I really have to clean out these papers, or what have you. It's good to do like a clutter detox kind of thing, where everything that's just obvious clutter and trash, just do one big sweep and get through it. And if there's any big pieces that you can't just toss right away, it even helps me and a lot of my clients if you just like put a sticky note on it that signifies that it's going, because then in your mind you just shut it out and it kind of's like, it's done. It's not like this decision overload all the time of what goes and what stays.
So essentially, it sounds like you're saying, first step, get really clear on your desires, what it is that you want, what brings you joy, what, you know, makes you tick. Look back to childhood, which is interesting, because when you were talking about that, I was thinking, my sister and I used to play office, and I had a calendar, and I had appointments, and I had a desk, and I'm sitting at my desk, and I have my calendar with my appointments. So I'm pretty much living my childhood dream right now. So that feels pretty good. And then the second step is to kind of just do a big purge and go through, and based on these new awarenesses, categorize things as what's going to stay and what's going to go, right?
Yeah. And I'm helping someone else that's very attached to their clutter move out of the country to the Philippines and start a business over there. And whenever he gets a little grabby at things or a little reminiscent of, oh, I might need that someday or whatever, I'm like, oh, are you honestly going to ship this to the Philippines? Like, really? And then that dream gets him through the remorse of it.
Yeah. I always ask, who else, I mean, if it's something that somebody else would want, but I kind of say this silent prayer, like, please let this go to somebody that like really could use this or needs it or will appreciate it. And that really helps me to get things out, is knowing, wow, you know, I have 27 sweaters or whatever, and I live in Southern California. I need like maybe one sweater. These are going to go to like someone, you know, in Minnesota.
Someone that's cold.
Yeah. Someone that's freezing and wants a sweater. So, yeah, I think those little kind of internal dialogues definitely help when there's emotional attachments.
Yeah. And it also helped that he pocketed $2,000 from OfferUp last weekend. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Especially if it's going towards a dream, right? If you get really clear on what you want, then you know that you're taking that money to put it towards something. So yeah, I think that's very wise. We've heard a little bit about how you help others transform. What would you say is the biggest transformation you've made in your life?
Yeah, the minimalism kind of came kind of naturally to me. But the biggest transformation has with me, it's probably been the money piece, because I was making a lot of money in corporate, actually. I was a national sales director for Marriott for Hawaii and the Western region. And I made a lot of money, and my husband at the time made a lot of money at his job as well. And we were living, you know, our picket fence little lifestyle in Orange County, white picket fence with all the toys and cars and everything. And then when I walked out of that job one day at lunch and didn't go back, I struggled in the beginning being an entrepreneur, and then I kind of got the hang of it with my professional organizing business, and we also had an online consignment store to sell the clutter, as I said. But when I uncovered my true desires that I wanted to be a digital nomad, I had to transition from being a professional organizer to being more of an online personality coach kind of person, content creator kind of person. And then, so that was another learning curve and kind of some feast and famine cycles for me trying to uncover what I wanted to do online and putting it all together. And then I would, you know, make, like, I'd have a 20K week. Finally, I finally made it, right? I'd have a 20K week, but then maybe I wouldn't make any money for 2 to 3 months because I was so buried in client work and not marketing. So it's just this constant feast and famine cycle. And getting through that piece has been the biggest impact. And it's not because I'm all about money. Obviously, I have 8 outfits, but it's because of the peace of mind that that brings and the experiences that that can bring is, you know, in this world, we need money for feeling safe, for being, having healthcare, for having the experiences we want, for having the pieces that we actually do enjoy and want. Like I always have to have the latest laptop and things like that. And that is, it makes sense to me because I use it 12 hours a day sometimes working, and just because I enjoy those things. So yeah, the money piece, the feast and famine cycles has been the biggest transformation.
Actually the mindset around it, or the how it kind of plays out in your life, would you say?
I'd say both, and I'd say mindset is like 99% of it, because if you don't have the mindset piece right, nothing you do is in your business is gonna work, in my opinion. You can have the greatest sales funnel on earth, and if your energy's not right and your mindset's not right, nothing's gonna sell.
Absolutely. I think mindset is key in every single area of your life, especially money, but you know, I mean, it can really apply to anything. So when you transform that, would you say that that happened
kind of organically, or was there a defining moment where you're like, I need to transform this area?
There was a little bit of a defining moment. I would say both, actually, to answer your question. I would say both. It was a process. It was a journey. It did take years to get out of feast and famine. But there was a defining moment where I was kind of like, I'm just not available to be broke and struggling anymore. And this is gonna sound like conceited, but I was like looking at other entrepreneurs and like, my content is so much better than hers and she's making a lot of money. And how is she doing this? Because my content is obviously better. Stuff like that would come up and you're like, how are they doing it? It seems like everything